The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, as we wait the government's announcement in relation to easing of level 5 restrictions, if there are any, a lot of people want to talk about vaccinations, how well we're doing by comparison with other countries. A lot of people yesterday getting in touch with the programme after we had our piece with Nick Ferrari from London and how England is coming out of lockdown, the defined dates on which they are going to do various things, all on the basis of the level of vaccination achieved so far to date, it would seem. So Professor Kingston Mills, Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity College Dublin, is with us. Kingston, how well do you think have the British done in relation to vaccination?
Well, there's no question they've done very well. I mean, I think Israel is probably the best country in the world, but they've done their own deal directly with Pfizer to buy the vaccine at a sort of a premium. And the UK were the first to license the vaccines, and of course they got a head start, and they have more access to vaccines, have done deals to give them more doses than Europe have per head of population. So they're well ahead of us. Other countries like Denmark, for example, in the EU are doing somewhat better and seem to have a much more organized system than we have. So while we're being constrained by supply right now, I think that, you know, there are areas, once more vaccines become available, that we need to up our game a bit.
Just come back to the United Kingdom for a second, though, because one of the things that has been said is that are they taking a bit of a risk in not just opening up so quickly when they still have only, what is it, less than a quarter of the population having received their first dose, but are they also taking a risk by having vaccinated so little, or the second dose given, that, well, it's a figure in Ireland that I've seen quoted is that something like 2.3% of those who've got the first shot have had their second, but then in the UK it's less than 1%.
Yeah, I mean, the UK have made a decision that they're going to delay the second dose, and their idea is to get as many people vaccinated with the first dose as they can. And this is based on emerging data. They're showing, for example, that the Pfizer vaccine is 70% effective after a single dose against infection now, and that the AstraZeneca vaccine is also effective against infection up to a level after a single dose. So that data is encouraging them to go with the single dose. And immunologically, there's no reason why you have to do a booster at 4 weeks. So there's no scientific reason why it should be done at 4 weeks. It's probably just as effective at 12 weeks. The risk is that during that period, if the efficacy with the one dose starts dropping off, then you start seeing breakthrough cases in the people that have had the one dose. And that's a risk that clearly the UK have decided to take, and different countries will have different approaches to this.
But that suggests, though, that they've gone for a reasonably intelligent gamble and that it's paying off for them.
Yeah, I think it is, to be fair. I mean, I think that if you look at the data coming out of Scotland, there was a paper published on Friday from the Scottish experience, and they're showing that the number of hospitalisations now, which is a fairly crude index, but it's an important one nevertheless, they're up around 90% reduction in hospitalisations, which is fantastic news. It really does mean that it's working. And extrapolating then to Israel, where they've actually vaccinated a lot more people than they have in Scotland or all the UK, and there, I mean, now bars are starting to open again, and people are you know, they're introducing this idea in Israel, as they are in Denmark, of this sort of vaccine certificate and digitalized record of vaccination as a means of getting out and about and eventually for travel.
Okay, so what do you think should we learn in Ireland from the experiences, particularly of the UK, Israel and Denmark? Is there anything that we can actually do, particularly given that we are to a certain degree constrained by our membership of the European Union?
And that's the nub of the issue. We are, even though we have the benefit of being a member of the EU and that we get access to vaccines, which we as a small country might find it more difficult to negotiate. So that's been the huge benefit of being part of Europe. The downside is that it's been slower. Europe have been slower to license the vaccines than the UK have. Israel have done their own deal with the manufacturers to get vaccine at a premium. And having said that, Denmark have stolen a march and some other countries in Europe by buying up unwanted doses of the Pfizer vaccine. Some countries countries decided because of the storage issues that they wouldn't take as many doses of the Pfizer vaccine as they were allocated. And Denmark jumped in and purchased those very quickly. So they have more doses of the Pfizer vaccine than they would have been allocated on the percentage basis. And that's given them extra doses of a really effective vaccine to work with. So that's the first thing that Denmark has done. The second thing they've done, they very quickly digitized their healthcare system to integrate vaccination into this digitized system. So they have a record of everybody, and they can, and everyone downloads an app on their phone, and they're told when to go for their vaccination. The record is all there, and then that acts as your vaccine certificate then when you're vaccinated. So, for example, they're planning on using this along with Sweden initially for travel. Other countries in Europe are now looking at it as well as a means of using vaccination. And there are risks associated with this. These vaccines are not 100% effective. So, you know, you might say that there's a big risk in it, but I think the risk is small, and I think it's a great idea, and I think we could certainly learn from it, from both the digitized system and the way that Denmark have done this. They're certainly the leading country in the European Union at vaccination so far.
So from what you're hearing, I mean, there's talk about getting over 85s done by a certain date, over 70s by the end of June, that we might get all adults done by the end of September. Do you think that those targets should be accelerated? And if they were to be achieved more quickly, would that then allow for a sort of an automatic open up of society again?
Absolutely, but it is very much dependent on supply. And, you know, apart from the fact that I just said that Denmark got their own, you know, way of addressing the supply issue, and that's sort of that probably lost on us now. But what is going to happen is there are going to be two or three more vaccine companies. Novavax in the US have a very, very good vaccine where Europe haven't yet done a deal, but they look like they're very close to signing a deal with them, and it's already in a rolling review in the EMA. It's a really good vaccine. It's going to be, it's reported on already in the phase three. It could be ready to be licensed in April. Then there's a vaccine from CureVac, which is going to come along behind that, which is another mRNA likely to work because it's like Pfizer and Moderna. And of course, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has, you know, it's likely to be licensed on the 14th of March, which is the date the EMA is going to rule on it. So we have three more potential vaccines, which would give us a huge amount of additional options in terms of vaccination. And then it's a matter of getting them out into people. And we're talking about 100 per day, or 100 per week, or 100,000 vaccines per week is the aspiration. But that should be 100,000 per day, and that's what Denmark are planning to do. They're planning to immunize 100,000 people per day, and we're planning to immunize 100,000 per week. I know that maybe Denmark are being very bullish about it, and they're assuming that they're going to get a certain number of doses, but I think we need to be planning for that here, because come April, I think we could be seeing a situation where we have really quite a lot of vaccine available if the other companies come through and they're licensed and they can deliver on their vaccines on time.
Well, hopefully they can, but I think there will be absolute hell to pay if we discover that we have vaccines and we're not able to administer them. One other thing just strikes me, Kingston. Is there going to be any issue if Northern Ireland is fully vaccinated and we still have hundreds of thousands, maybe a million people unvaccinated in the south? Would that actually matter because of the vaccination, or is the vaccination provide protection against transmission rather than the development of the illness?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the UK and Northern Ireland, as part of that, is ahead of us in terms of vaccination right now, and probably will continue to be ahead of us. So there will be a situation where the North will have significantly more percentages of people vaccinated and will probably have lower numbers of COVID cases, you know, in a couple of months' time than we do. So that will then become an issue for Northern Ireland more than an issue for the South, of how they're going to deal with a country that's next to them that has more cases. But hopefully, you know, if the trends keep going downwards and if the vaccine numbers of people vaccinated keeps going upwards, then we'll get to that stage where, you know, there will be a significant drop off in the number, certainly at the number of hospitalizations. And we're already seeing in the healthcare workers that the number of people getting COVID-19 has significantly reduced after vaccination. So it looks like, you know, it really is working here in Ireland. So now it's a matter of just getting it out into everybody as quickly as we can and getting back to normality, hopefully in the summer.
Professor Kingston Mills, Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity College Dublin. As ever, thank you for being with us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.